Hey, this episode has three sponsors, and I want to make sure I get them in. You know, first off, Andy's retreat, Andy Slammons of Amazing Freedom, the retreat in Florida this year is going to be unbelievable. If you've been thinking about private label, this is the event. There's five slots left, last I checked. Amazing house, all the food, everything's included. You've got to get there. Once you're there, you want for nothing but to learn. You want to grow your business. If you've been thinking about ramping up private label, this is the kind of place to be because you're going to go through some exercises to help figure out why products are the right products to choose. Some of the people at the last event actually used some of the products we found, and it was a group think, which is pretty cool because then you get to see, well, why did you think of that? And then you get to bounce off each other and build on it. So great event. If you're interested in any way, just private message me and I'll forward the information to you. Second sponsor is Scope from Seller Labs. I mean, Jeff and the guys there, they have this program. Now, I'm using it personally for one of my It's interesting. I'm using it for my private label product, but I'm also using it for a wholesale product that I brought to market. So I have exclusive rights to sell it. And what was so cool is I had to come up with the keywords. And it's like, boom, go right in, find the product that we're competing against, the number one product, as a matter of fact, and number two, and find out what keywords they're using, and then pop that into the listing, and boom, takes off. That's what's so important. It's just going to help you get there. So you know it's from Seller Labs. You know you can trust it. The other thing is tracking your keywords. You know, you'll see a lot of people talking about, hey, you should be tracking your keywords, and then you can see how effective, and then doing some split testing. Well, Scope does that for you. So if you go to the website, it's Scope, use the code Momentum. You're going to be able to get some savings off the annual price. It's really worth it. Check it out. There's a free trial. And again, since it's from Seller Labs, you know the quality. Third, but certainly not last, is Karen Locker's Solutions for E-Commerce. You know, you've heard me say it before. She is my account manager. She has been now since I interviewed her first, so way long, much longer than a year. Love it, love it, love it. Just got through long-term storage fees. Boom, send her a note. They send me a list. Pick yes, do this, do that. Boom. Stuff gets stranded. I notice it. I see it on the bottom right of the dashboard, and then magically it disappears. I never get involved. Magic. Somebody does it. Well, guess what? It's Karen and her team. And we were chatting earlier, and she is raising her prices because she's changing her packages, and it's sometime in September. But I asked her, I said, hey, can people lock in now? And she said, well, yes. So if you've been thinking about it, you need to lock in and lock in now. She's not going to hold the price, and you can't blame her. I mean, she's got demand. She's doing a lot of brand stuff. What's cool, though, is she's now working on Shopify stuff, too. So she has her own site, and so she's become an expert at it. So guess what? She's going to be handling my Shopify store very shortly. She also can create eBay listings for you if you've been thinking about that, too. So I had a product, this new product from the wholesale company you heard me mention earlier. Well, guess what? I think there are 52 variations of the one. Boom. Gave her the title that I wanted. I gave her some of the things that I did the keyword research. Gave it to her. Magically, it showed up. And as a matter of fact, it showed up the next day for me. So it was a really great thing. So the only way you're going to get the best price is you have to go through my link. And remember, Karen pays me, so I don't want to hide that. However, you do get to save if you use my link. And she's also still doing the inventory health report. So lock in your price. You got to do it right away. Not guaranteeing by the time this comes out that it's still not going to be available. But check. Momentum is the code that you need to use. Check the website. I've got the link for it. Solutions for e-commerce.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 228, Neil Lassen. Neil Lassen has a company called MerchInformer.com, and I'll have links to all that stuff, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is so new to me. I have a merch account, and I'm tearing. I'm in the middle of tears. And it's going well. But he was recommended to me for the services that he offers. And I'm just going to tell you up front, $600 a year if you sign up for the yearly plan, the pro plan. So know it up front. It's $600 cost. That's your investment. But it's like, as he describes, it's like two shirts a month is what you need to sell to help pay for it. So that's your perspective. But what he does, oh my goodness, as I get deeper and deeper into it, it just blows my mind. In this first segment, we're going to talk about his affiliate business, creating websites for with affiliate links and stuff like that, and how he got started, and how it's still actually a viable business. And go look at flippa.com to see it. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Very excited about today's guest. Recommended to me, and it's not like it wasn't on my radar, but it moved back up on my radar for personal reasons. And I'll tell that story in a little bit. Neil Lassen from Merch Informer. Welcome, Neil.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Well, you and I met in Denver. I don't know when that was. God, these days just, was it April, May?
It was like 2 months ago, maybe?
May-ish?
The time, yeah, I think so. The time kind of, you know, blends together a little bit.
They sure do. I've been to so many conferences, and I actually have 4 or 5 more trips scheduled for this year. But that was Rocky Mountain Conference, which I thought was a great conference. I think Paul and Travis did an amazing job. I still say that they're audio technical people were some of the best I've ever seen at a conference. I mean, they really made it strong. How was your impression of the conference?
I really liked it. That was actually the first conference I have ever been to.
Oh, that's so a good that's one. That's a great way to start. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it was a great one. I truly enjoyed it. I say this over and over again, they pay attention to the details, specifically Paul, because I know that's his thing. Amazing, amazing time. And I really enjoyed myself. Great people. Oh my God, it was so many great people there. So many great speakers. Learned so much. So anyway. Okay, so you and I met, you were hanging out with Chris Green. I mean, that's a pretty big name to hang with.
Yeah, it is. That's actually the first time I had met him in person too, which was fun. It was fun to meet everyone that I talked to on a daily basis and put a actual face to a name.
For him to be recommending you and your services, that's a pretty big deal. I mean, you got to take that as a badge of honor because, you know, Chris is a smart guy, knows everyone. And for him to be pumping you up like that, that's a pretty cool thing too.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate it. It's been pretty fun so far. And we're trying to always do better the next day, you know?
Well, we're going to talk about merch. And so before we get there, I'd like to get into your background. You know, what's an economics guy, poli-sci guy, working in merch and Amazon t-shirts? I mean, you're a t-shirt guy, but yet you're...
Yeah, I didn't start off being a t-shirt
yeah,
guy.
I mean, were you going to be a politician? I mean, was that your thing? Were you interested in that?
No, so I was going to school, UW-Madison. My entire kind of goal was to go to law school because the law had always interested me. And, you know, I was getting closer and closer to graduating. And I just realized, well, I took the LSAT, right, and I did pretty average. And average doesn't get you into the best schools out there. So
right, you could get a degree, right? You can get
a law degree.
Right,
I could get a degree, but I was like, you know what? I'm not really sure if I want to do this. Maybe I'll take a few years and, you know, try to do what I was already doing, which was affiliate websites. So, you know, Amazon affiliate, hosting affiliate.
Did you start doing that in high school or was that just in college?
I started that in college. So okay. If we back up a little bit, I finally got a job. I applied to like 80 plus places. I got one phone call back and I got one job. So I worked at Target and I pushed shopping carts at Target for $8 an hour.
Nice.
And I absolutely hated it.
No, but it's what makes you, it gives you perspective and drive, right?
It really does. I mean, honestly, everyone I worked with was just miserable, including me. So I was looking for a way out.
Including the store manager.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, a lot of times. I mean, it's sad. Yeah. I mean, I it's sad, but it's the truth because it's like Doritos. When they come off that line, they just keep coming. They never stop, right? You got to get up and you got to do it again. Carts always out in the parking lot, right? They never magically make their way, but nobody brings their cart back in the store for you, right?
Oh, I know. And it was in Wisconsin too. So I had to do it in the middle of winter. And, you know, I remember it was 4th of July and it was like 100 plus outside and humid. Like I've got to find a way out of this.
Nice.
So I was looking at websites on a marketplace called Flippa, if you're familiar with that.
I am.
And I saw some websites that were selling for, you know, 40, 50K, and that's more money than I'd ever seen at that point. And I took a look at them, and I'm like, wow, these are really, really ugly. I'm pretty sure I could do that. So I learned how to throw together a website.
Wait, did you take any computer? I mean, I guess everybody at your age would have a computer, but did you take any programming or web design stuff in high school?
Not really. Not
so it's
really.
Mostly
at all.
Self-taught.
It's mostly just me playing around with WordPress, you know. Okay. So I kind of had to teach myself, you know, how to set up a hosting account and all that little small things that you need to actually get started. So I created a website, and I'm like, I'm going to make all this money, and I'm going to finally quit my job, and it's going to be great.
The millions are coming, right? Steve Jobs. This is it.
Exactly. So I created the website, and it got, you know, no visitors, so zero traffic.
That's bad.
Then I had to figure out what search engine optimization was, how to rank my site in Google.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out and I taught myself how to do that. And about 6 months later, I was making pretty good money. So I quit my job.
So I'm going to just pause here for a second because I want to make sure I get this. So you're making $8 an hour in Target, miserable, now realizing this is not a career choice. I've got to make a decision. You start this other thing. You put effort into it. You do some research. You put some effort into it. First off, you recognize there's a market. You put the effort in to get to that market. Doesn't work. You then say, oh, I've got to enhance that market. Let me learn another skill, another trade. Put in the, you know, I'm sure it wasn't the 1,000 hours, but you put in the time to learn and you start making money?
Exactly. I mean, it really wasn't a career choice. It was just something to pay my rent and, you know, pay for some food because I was in college. So I was trying to juggle, you know, classes and then figuring out how all this internet stuff works on the side at night. And then once I found out that, you know, I can actually create income online and, you know, make a decent amount at it, I finally ended up quitting my job, which was pretty amazing. And then from then on out, I just continued to do different affiliate ventures and test out different, you know, traffic driving strategies, such as learning Facebook ads and social media marketing.
Put in extra hour. Let me just make this statement. If you were working at Target, you're making $8 an hour, you worked, you know, 20 hours a week or whatever it was, you knew how much money you got, and that sustained whatever life you were living at that point in college.
Right.
With this, it was more effort reward, right? You put more effort in, you get more reward. But to me, what's exciting about that is, first off, that you did your Target duty, you learned, right? Okay, not a good track. And there are people that's their thing. They just like that. But to me, it's exciting that you figured out, hey, this computer stuff, I'm naturally good at it, or I have the ability to learn it. And to me, while you're working in it, you're continually learning. So even if you're earning the same amount you earned at Target, it's related to something you're interested in or that will carry. Putting carts away, well, that's a noble skill, and it may be a good exercise. I'm sure, you know what, it's a good exercise, but it's not going to take you any further. What you're working on, and I think this is such a good tip, is if you have kids, this is a great tool. While they're, even if they're just making the same amount of money, they're learning something related to some other industry, because what you're learning, you know, any computer skills, you're using them in every industry. I don't care where you go. It's used in every industry other than pushing shopping carts at Target. So to me, I applaud you, and I hope parents who have kids hear that and say, and encourage it rather than saying, oh, he's just playing video games or he's creating an app or whatever. Oh, yeah, he'll never make it. You know what? He will, and he'll learn some. Sorry. I get off on track. That's a big deal.
You mentioned that is because, you know, I used to play way too many computer games, and it kind of transferred from playing games, which, you know, gives you almost zero value and skill in anything,
mm-hmm.
to kind of putting that grind into, you know, something. Because, I mean, I put in a lot of hours without getting any money. I didn't make anything up front, but I put in all that effort up front, which then rewarded me later down the line.
It's a great lesson, and I'm harping on it because I would love to see more parents take that approach and just say, hey, this is an opportunity. I mean, it's what your story is going to be about merch. I guarantee you. You were one of the first to market. You put in the effort and energy. You built a business, and then you sold it, and we'll get to that story. But to me, that's the opportunity today, right? I was just with somebody this weekend, and they were looking for advice. Oh, church yesterday. He was asking for advice about, you know, jobs and this and that. He's like, hey, I'm going to be graduating next year. I really got to figure out what I want to do. I'm thinking about doing an internship. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, what about your dad? He works at a bank, and he's a broker. I'm like, dude, go take advantage of that opportunity. If they'll pay for your MBA, if they're going to help you get all your licenses, and you could take a little bit of an advantage because your dad's there, do it, because you're going to get a job. You're not going to be working there more than 3 to 5 years anyway, you know?
Right,
and so, you know, if you can invest that time, and I think that's the hard part, right? Were your friends investing that time into something meaningful, or did they just stay playing video games or working at Target when you look back?
Oh, same. They thought I was wasting my time. They thought it was pretty funny. They're like, why are you doing this affiliate website stuff, you know? But I saw the websites that people were selling for, you know, 10 figures, 6 figures, even 7 figures on some of these marketplaces. And I'm like, well, if someone else can do it, I'm pretty sure I can teach myself how to do it too.
Do you have an art eye for art? I mean...
No, not at all. Okay. No.
So where do you get the confidence to think that you can build that website? I mean, are your parents, did they build that into you? Where does that come from?
I don't really know. I mean, my parents are self-employed. So I guess I saw that from growing up. My dad quit his job when I was pretty young, worked in the bedroom sort of thing, and then, you know, moved up his own business. So I always knew that I kind of wanted to do my own thing.
Okay.
Because
cool.
I wanted to be in charge of my own destiny, sort of.
So they encourage you, or what made you go to college? Was it their insistence because generationally, or were you driven?
I think that's kind of always expected of me, but okay. I also really wanted to, you know, I wanted to do something other than the opportunities that would probably be available to me otherwise. And I always like, and I've always, you know, loved to learn about mm-hmm. new things. So driven to do something else rather.
Let me ask one more question on this. The Flippa, is that opportunity still available today? I mean, is there the ability for somebody to go on and create a marginal, decent website? I mean, it's easier now because most everything's a plugin. But realistically, can they create one, drive traffic to it, and marginal traffic? Is that opportunity still available?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's always going to be the low-hanging fruit. And as long as you go out there and you learn how it all works and find, you know, a niche or some kind of category that you're interested in where people are spending their money, then absolutely.
Love it. Okay. All right. So you create a website. You learn how to drive traffic on Google. This was I don't know what they call it when they change their algorithm. I know there's always a crazy name. Was this pre or post the last algorithm change? Because I know the last algorithm change really affected the ability to drive traffic.
All the algorithm changes are happening all the time. The two main ones are called Penguin and Panda.
Right.
They're happening all the time, but this was, you know, this was about 2012, I believe.
Okay.
So there was definitely, funny enough, you mentioned that is that, you know, once I had quit my job and I was earning really, really good money, you know, a few months after that, the main website I was on actually ended up getting hit by one of those algorithms. So then I kind of had to figure out, you know, okay, I just quit my job. I have money saved up, but now what do I do, right? So I kind of had to pivot just a little bit into a different type of affiliate website and keep going.
And I think that's another – boy, you're full of lessons this morning, because I think the same thing happens with Amazon now, especially in the FBA world, is they make material changes in their business outside of your control, all designed for them, period, right? So in that day, it was Google making changes for their long-term strategy, and clearly it's worked. I mean, they haven't they haven't lost, right? They're not Yahoo right now, or I guess Bing is doing better, but they're not whatever the search engines were that we all kind of can't even remember. What they did was invest to sustain their business and grow. Well, don't you think Amazon does the same thing? But you don't give up, right? You pivoted. So would 60% of what you knew then still work in the new model? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all that changed really was how they look at backlinks. So I had to figure out, okay, instead of creating these backlinks that didn't really matter much anymore, the new strategy was actually connecting with people, you know, writing these guest blogs for real websites that real people read. So actually reaching out and connecting with people in the niches you're in.
So you don't have to give up. I mean, to me, I think that's the lesson there. You don't have to give up. You have to adjust. And if it's 60%, great. And if you look at it that way, instead of saying, oh, my God, they're terrible, they screwed us, because I've seen all those people say that and then basically, you know, jump off a bridge almost, or you can say, hey, you know, 60% of what I'm doing is still working. Boom, I get that other 40%. I'm right back, baby. I'm ready. You know, that's the way I look at things.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could give up, but you're not going to get anywhere doing that.
Right.
So
I'm sure a lot of people did give up. I'm sure a lot of people did give up, or they sit and complain. And so I just think about it with Amazon now making these material change, even eBay is making material changes. If you put it in perspective, the world isn't over. Majority of what I'm doing is still good. I do have to adjust and make other adjustments. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so you say, hey, I got to change, and you learn the new methods. Does that make you a better, you know, looking back, the change they made, because what you used to be able to do was you were able to game the system, right? I mean, I'm not blaming you, but that's the way it was designed, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then after it, you kind of have to add value.
Yeah, I mean, I took a step back and I realized what I was doing wasn't working, mm-hmm. and that the new strategy was actually doing something more sustainable, more long-term. So I simply just started over. I mean, it took a while to get going. I had a few short months, you know, where I wasn't doing so
lean,
hot,
lean, right?
Lean months. There you go.
It's pushing shopping carts again, though. It pushes you through it, and you get through it, and you're that much stronger.
Well, and see, that was always at the back of my mind. I'm like, I could go back to pushing shopping carts, or I could try this again. And every single time, I decided to try it again because I did not want to go back.
I think that's a great message. Okay. All right. So you're going through. What's happening now?
Well, I started a few longer term websites, which I still actually have today. And other than that, I'm working on those bigger, more authority type websites.
Okay. So give me an example of one, not one that you currently have, because I don't want to, you know, out anything, but give me an example of how you're making money post Panda, Penguin, whatever else they call it. Give me an example. I mean, I understand the authority website, but give me an example. Right.
So same sort of thing. Are you familiar with the Wirecutter?
No.
Okay, so the Wirecutter is this website that basically goes around and reviews all types of different products that can be found on Amazon. So these really, really in-depth, like 5,000-10,000 word reviews, where they take the product and they kind of tear it apart and they tell you why you need it or why you don't need it or what's a better choice. Mm-hmm. And they're really, really long and really in-depth. So I was doing those types of sites for mostly Amazon affiliates. So
and so then the product products. Would have an affiliate in there. You'd get paid 8% or whatever if they bought it within the next 30 days or whatever. Okay. So if you do current things, so for example, today somebody might do Tesla would be a good example, right? So if somebody did Tesla, you would get a lot of traffic right now, right? And so you would be able to take advantage of that.
Right, exactly. So not only would I review products that are doing really, really well on Amazon, but then you would do keyword research. So you'd find out what people are actually searching for, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're searching for, you know, a Bluetooth speaker review, then you would get that Bluetooth speaker or do your research on that speaker and then write a review yourself and put that on your, you know, speaker website.
You know, it's interesting listening to you describe this. This is kind of the model of merch today. I mean, right? You just can't put up any shirt.
It is. I think that's why I'm pretty good at it. Yeah. It's very similar.
You've been being prepared, which I find, you know, it's funny. I mean, I think anybody who's listened to my show more than, you know, 5 times would hear a pattern. The stuff that you've been learning all along, and it seems like it comes easy for you, or you excel at, or you lean in and put in the time, benefit you later down the road. It's like one thing leads to another. Joy Packard always says that. One thing leads to another. It's very cool, though.
It is
cool. All right, cool. Okay, so the website businesses are going well. You're doing some long-term. And when you said authority websites, is that where you talk about rock climbing and you give every piece of information there can be about rock climbing?
Exactly. So I would pick like an overarching kind of topic, so you know, fitness or finance or something like that, and then I would just go in and I would pull all the keywords I could from Google that people are searching for and then try to provide the people that are searching for those keywords value in the post that I was putting up. So when I started, I had to write all this myself, and I'm not particularly the best writer in the world, but you know, it's something I had to do. So once I made enough money, I realized that I could easily scale this up by outsourcing it. So then I had to learn how to hire people for an affordable rate. And that was a big pain. That's a pain point I see a lot of other people having too.
I think it's still a pain point, right? It's not as easy to vet because my experience is whenever I go to Upwork or Fiverr or any of those, right? Hey, I'm looking for this. Every single person has every one of the skills that I happen to mention, right?
Yep.
At least they tell you. They don't, but they tell you they do. That's their standard answer.
Exactly. And I've hired so many people where they do a test article for me, or they give me back for merch, you know, a design, and it's just, they didn't follow directions. They didn't have the skills I asked for. So it's like immediately out. So you have to fire people fast. But once you find those people that are willing to follow directions and stick with you, you got to keep them because they're hard to find.
And that's where the effort is. All right. All right. Let's do this. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, I want to finish the story because it sounds like we're getting close. But again, every one of these things that you're describing is valuable in today's merch market, merch and what's coming next market. Fair?
Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Be right back. I wanted to drop in and add some notes about the podcast. Been approached by a pretty large company, national sponsors, and they want to sponsor the show. And I'm very picky, and you know, I try to be mindful. Not going to promote things that I don't believe in. So you're not going to hear about borrowing money. I'm sorry. Don't want you to start this business borrowing money. I understand you need to do it for capital. I get all that. I'm just not participating. It's my choice. You do what you need to do. However, I was able to pick and choose. And I think the two that I chose and I was already accepted are just perfect. So probably be starting them on the next week. Second thing is I added another place you can listen to the podcast. So you can hear it on iTunes, of course. That's how that other company found me. Spreaker, Podbean, Podbay, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, my own apps for Android and iPhone. So if you need one of those, just download the apps. I really like that format. It's very easy for me. But I just added Alexa. So you should be able to find me on the TuneIn network on Alexa. E-commerce Momentum on Alexa. Can't wait to see what they bring out next. I will be there. Dude's a smart guy, articulate, very clever. And again, listen to the pattern. Puts the time in, recognizes something, puts the time in to learn it, takes advantage of it, outsources the stuff he doesn't want to deal with, and excels at it. Wash, rinse, and repeat. That seems to be Neil's story. And you can't argue with the success. I mean, he's having tremendous success right now. I can't even say it. Anyway, in this segment, we really get into the merch world and really talk about, I think, some more in-depth things that he's part of and how it comes about. And he teaches me a whole bunch of things about BSRs I didn't understand, didn't know, really about how important reviews are, and just getting one is just so critical. And I think that's great stuff. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Neil Lassen. And he's from Merch Informer, and we'll get to that. We're getting to that. We're actually very close to that, because I sit back and I listen to you talk about, you know, hiring and outsourcing. Are those things hard for you to do? I mean, I get that hiring people, especially if you don't have that experience, and based on your experience, you didn't at that point. Is it hard to let go of the control too for you, or are you comfortable in that?
It depends on what I'm outsourcing. For some things, I always feel like I can do better myself. So that's kind of probably a bottleneck for me, where I don't want to give up that control. But things that I don't particularly enjoy, such as writing affiliate articles, I'm glad to outsource that.
You're glad to outsource it. How do you – I guess you have to be good enough, and then you have an expectation – you communicate that expectation to somebody else, and then you vet it. How do you know that they're not copying from somewhere else? How do you know, like, that's one of my big fears, is that how do you know that they're not plagiarizing someone else? Because ultimately you're responsible, right?
Right. So the service I use for that is called Copyscape. So essentially they would give me an article back and I would copy the article, put it in Copyscape and hit go. And basically what that does, will search the web for similar, you know, sentence structure and everything like that. And it'll tell you what percentage of the article is unique.
Okay.
So, you know, for the first few months of hiring a writer, because sometimes I'd get back really, really good content for the first week or two, and then it would gradually decline.
Right.
So I'd check it for the first month or two, and then you kind of have to build that relationship with the person you hire to make sure that they are going to be providing exactly what you want.
Is there a number that you stopped? I mean, I know somebody else is thinking the same way I am. Is 20% similar too much? Is it 5%? Is there a number, 2%, that would make you reject something?
Not a specific number, really. I mean, I'm looking for pretty much 100% unique article.
Okay. So you're not looking for any percent. If it's similar, out.
Well, one thing I might see, right, is if they use the name of the product a bunch of times, okay, and some other review did the same thing, then it would show up that, you know, maybe it's 5 to 10%, and that's not an issue. I'm concerned about right. the actual, like, meat of the article being unique.
Okay. I just know somebody else is thinking the same way I am, saying, how do you, you know, do you just say, hey, greater than 5%, don't even waste my time reading it to see what it is, not worth it, too similar, move on, because, you know, you don't want to, I mean, I've seen companies sue over photos, for example. I know that there's right. there's a company out there that is so aggressive, and you can't win. I mean, they is it Getty Images, I believe it is.
Yep,
is,
that would be the one.
They own the photo. I mean, there's no downright, and they will enforce it. It's their right, and they own it, and they will absolutely enforce it. So you've really got to be very cautious about making sure you have stuff. So in the writing world, I imagine in today's litigious society, that's becoming more and more prevalent.
Well, one of the things I usually tell people is that you should, if you're going to do the affiliate thing, you should write yourself for a while, figure out what works so that when you do end up hiring writers, you don't burn yourself. You know exactly what you're looking for because you've done it.
Yeah, right. And then you don't worry about, and you also have a proof of concept, right? Because if you've had the response, right. That makes perfect sense to me. Okay. So things are going well. How do you get to Amazon from there? I mean, you're already in Amazon with an affiliate, doing quite well.
Doing well. So I also branched off and I did some Facebook. I actually created a few Android apps, just some really small ones. So I was playing around with basically anything I could get my hands on, just because I wanted to learn different parts of the internet marketing industry. So eventually, you know, I saw all this FBA stuff going on. I saw the big numbers and I thought, again, you know, I can teach myself to do this. So hopped on FBA. I decided I was going to do private labeling right away. And then, you know, I had to find a supplier. So I did the whole Alibaba thing, stayed up really, really late talking to different people in China, which was, I was used to staying up late, but the language barrier thing, that was pretty difficult. I sent my products directly to Amazon, and that went well for maybe a month or two. And then I started to have all these problems. I started to get, you know, stuff hung up in customs, and I really had no idea what I was doing. I didn't have any help or anything else.
I mean, were you inspecting the merchandise? Or, I mean,
I had samples delivered to me first before I actually ordered anything.
And then so you stayed with that same vendor, and then you got enough confidence in them, then you said, okay, just send them directly to Amazon for me.
Right. So they did all the labeling, and they sent it directly to Amazon, and everything was great for a while until I started getting shipments stuck in customs, and I had no idea what to do. So at that point, I was on the phone with, you know, the shipping company and whoever else. It was just a huge mess. And then on top of that, I had to deal with customer support through Amazon. You know, that was no fun. I really didn't want to do that. So FBA was a really fun journey, but I don't think it's something I wanted to do long term.
Did you ever try like retail ARB or online ARB or any of those things?
Never.
So your Target experience, you didn't go back and scan the end caps at Target. Good for you. I mean, I applaud you. You know,
well,
good for you.
I know a lot of people do that, but I just didn't see it as something, one, I wanted to do because I lived in a small apartment, and two, it didn't seem that scalable to me.
Right. Now, so, and let's be fair, I do have friends that sell millions of dollars retail ARB. I mean, they do.
I know, and I met them at in Denver.
And they're outliers. I mean, they have a gift. They love it. They thrill on it. That's their thing. It's not my thing. I'm lazy, and I am not willing to do that effort. But I applaud them for it, and I don't want to downplay it. But I'm with you. I'm looking for a little path of least resistance.
I mean, you know, it's not for everyone. And for the people it is, they should stick with it. But I realized that that was not my cup of tea,
right,
and that I needed to move on.
Okay. So FBA was, doesn't sound like your cup of tea. I know in the pre-interview we said that, but not your cup of tea.
Right. So probably a few months after that happened, so this is late 2015 now, I believe. One of the guys that I was working with selling WordPress stuff, he sent me an article from TechCrunch, and it was talking about this new program called Merch by Amazon for app developers, right? And I had a few really simple apps on the App Store, but I started reading it, and I realized that this was print-on-demand clothing selling on Amazon where you didn't have to deal with customers, you didn't have to deal with fulfillment, you didn't have to deal with, you know, any suppliers overseas. So I thought that sounded like the greatest thing ever, and signed up right away. And back then, you didn't, there wasn't a waiting period. It was just instant acceptance. So got in, and then I realized, okay.
And when was this? When was this?
End of 2015. So
because it was about announced September 30th of 2015. So you're like in the first two or three months.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Wow. It was quick. There's that TechCrunch article is still out there, which is pretty funny. But yeah, someone sent me that, and I no one else knew what it was. There's hardly anyone who still knows what Merch by Amazon is.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think this is a good question. You recognize, I mean, what allowed you to recognize that this is the next opportunity? Because, you know, I remember Chris Green always saying, Steve, Merch by Amazon is going to be much bigger than FBA. And I misunderstood him. I thought he meant that, you know, people are going to make more money at it or whatever. His thing is, no, you're going to have more people involved in it than you do FBA, because it's
the barrier to entry is, it's very low. But in order to do well with it, you actually have to be good at what you're doing. So even though there's a low barrier to entry, I mean, anyone can sign up and join, right? But you still have to be able to understand how to put keywords in and how to do your research and how to make good designs.
But how did you know that it was going to be as big as it is? I mean, because you're in 3 months in. What was it that you recognized? Do you get what I'm saying? Because what I would like to do is apply it going forward. I'm always looking for that next thing. And, you know, I'm always asking people, hey, how did you know? So I can start looking for those little triggers. Was there any one thing that just stood out to you that was
I was doing FBA, right? So mm-hmm. I knew that the sales were there, and I was also doing the affiliate. So I knew how many people were buying. And in the back of my mind, I knew how much traffic Amazon had.
Okay.
Which, you know, how hard
that is to generate.
Exactly. It's like 2 billion plus just right. in Amazon.com. And I realized, well, if I can get product, so if I can do exactly what I'm doing without all of the pain points, which is put products on Amazon and get paid for it without dealing with any of the other issues and take advantage of the traffic that's already there, so I don't have to do any of the actual work, mm-hmm. then it's something that I would be interested in.
Well, then my next question would be, has anything else come across your horizon that you see similar potential? Not, it doesn't have to be as large, but have other marketplace, either applications or new marketplaces, come across your horizon through your technology world contacts and behind the scenes development side for the future? Has anything like this come across your desk since 2015?
I mean, there's a lot of opportunities out there, but this one is probably the best currently.
Okay.
Because you get to take advantage of all that Amazon offers, which is great. Without any, you basically don't even have to have any startup costs at all.
Right. Today it's shirts. It's going to be coffee cups. It's going to be ashtrays and shorts and all the rest. Right.
Exactly. This. Okay. I mean, they just to back up real quick, they only have 2 shirts for Merch by Amazon, 2 types of shirts, and they have every other print on demand service out there running scared with 2 shirts.
Right. So when they expand, that is basically what you're saying. Imagine when you could do socks, and we know all that's coming. So when you can do, okay, all right, all right,
exactly.
Okay, all right. So you realize, and what were you going to do? Were you going to be in the sales side, or did you see yourself as a developer also?
So I'm not a developer at all. I mean, I can write a little bit of code, a little bit of HTML.
But you don't have to be a developer. I mean, you don't have to – I mean, I guess I should say it differently. You don't have to be a developer to get something developed.
Oh, that's correct.
So that's what I meant more so was, did you see yourself offering a service – let me say it that way, better way, but clearer. Were you going to offer a service and sell shirts, or you were just going to sell shirts?
That wasn't in the back of my mind at all. I didn't really even understand what the program is. I mean, I read what it was, and I signed up, but I still needed to actually prove the concept to myself that it worked. Because at that point, they were advertising it strictly to app developers, which I wasn't an app developer. I mean, I had a few apps, but I noticed that it was print on demand t-shirts, and that's about it. So I had nothing in my mind about creating anything. I was just like, I'm going to try to sell some shirts, right? So I'm not a designer by any means, but I did have Photoshop. And so I opened up Photoshop and I found some, you know, free to use vectors. So I just dragged and dropped them, you know, typed a word or two, and then saved them in the correct format. And I uploaded them, and I uploaded some more, and every few days I'd upload a little bit more. And eventually I started to see some sales rolling in, which was the greatest thing ever. I was getting sales on these designs that I had barely spent any time on. They were very ugly, if I'm going to be honest.
But you were one of the first to market. So, you know, just,
that's true.
I mean, really didn't matter. It's just, hey, this is available. Just getting anything out there, quite frankly, at that point. And you know what's fascinating? We're less than 2 years away from that. Think about, you know, in less than 2 years, it's pretty sophisticated now. Now, you can't put up crap and expect it to sell, right? I mean, not generally today. I mean,
see, that's kind of a weird point. Generally, yes. But at the same time, Amazon just has so much traffic. So what's crap to you and me?
True.
Might be something that someone else actually wants.
Yeah, right. Now, that's valid. You're right. Fascinating. Oh, love it. Okay. No, I think it's great. I mean, to me, you know, as a 50-something-year-old guy, to be able to participate in this is very exciting for me. To be able to watch it from creation, watch it evolve, take part in it, maybe a little later than I should have. Okay, fair. That's me. But now to get it to see, watch it as it matures and develops and pivots, as you would use that term, is a very exciting thing. Even, I made this statement with an episode that came out. One of the guys I interviewed is a developer from San Francisco. And he's like, a whole bunch of people are out there working on Amazon-related stuff. In the development world, this is hot. In the tech world, Amazon, because it's just, but he's like, it'll be something else next time. They don't care. There's no love for it or whatever. Where you, who kind of seems like has been in this for a bit, could you see yourself in this world for a period of time?
I, for the foreseeable future, I mean, Amazon is buying up every single service you can think of with Whole Foods, and now they're doing they're creating those prepackaged meals, I think.
Yeah, which is a smart idea. Jesus, yeah, I mean, so smart, these people.
They're literally putting other companies out of business because if Amazon wants to take over, they take over. So for the foreseeable future, when they're the big dog, I think that's where a lot of people are going to be. And since for me, it's all about finding where those people are spending money, that's where I want to be. So if they're spending money on Amazon, I will be there.
You're going where the puck is. Boom, that's it. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so continue with your story.
Okay, so I uploaded myself about 100 to 125-ish designs. Now, these were nothing special. This was literally just drag and drop in Photoshop. Okay, drag and drop, save it, and upload it. So by that point, I had tiered up to, you know, the 500 tier, I believe.
Wow.
I realized that this was an actual thing, so I proved the concept that it worked. And from there, I went to hire a designer. So I had never hired a designer before. Before it was just hiring writers.
Okay.
So I'm not a designer, so this was a little hard because I'd find people. Well, back up a little bit. First, I had to figure out, you know, copyright. So I don't want people to copy other people's images because that could get me in trouble.
Right.
And then I had to learn what the heck is trademark and what is that all about. So I had to figure out, okay, can I or can I not use this specific phrase in my shirts or in the bullet points on Amazon? So then once I figured those two out, then I had to figure out how to find a designer that was going to use commercially free images, which was probably the biggest pain point because I was hiring people from overseas,
right,
and they're not always, you know, up to date on what certain things mean because English is probably their second or third language.
And where were you hiring them from, Upwork or Fiverr or somewhere?
Upwork. Generally, a lot of people get burned on Fiverr for designers. I'm not really sure why.
Okay.
But yeah, Upwork. So I went through probably 5 to 10 designers before I found one good one who is actually still with me today. About $4 a design.
$4 a design. Wow. What was the criteria? I mean, did you give them a test? Did you say, hey, create me 10 images? Did you give them direction? Did you give them sayings or phrases or things? Walk us through that process.
So this is where I do it a lot differently than other people do it, I guess. Okay. So I would find I'd spend 5 to 6 hours a day just typing in different keywords into Amazon and then looking at the BSR and finding out what's selling, right? Because I didn't want to waste my time going into niches where no one was spending money, because that's a waste of time.
Now, when you say that, you're saying, were they spending money on T-shirts or were they spending money buying Frisbees?
T-shirts. So okay. I was specifically looking in the novelty section and looking at the T-shirts and seeing what they're buying.
Okay.
So I'm not the particularly most creative person, right? So I play music. I'm musically creative, but I am not design creative at all. But I knew the designers that I was vetting and wanted to hire, they were creative. So what I would essentially do is I'd find something that was selling. I would send over that Amazon link and I'd say, okay, this is selling. I want you to create something in this niche, but I want it to look completely different, right? So just use your creative abilities and give me something back that, you know, is your vision of whatever the niche should be.
And so would you show them the shirt that was selling so they have a little perspective if it was Frisbee golf, right?
Exactly.
Would you show them an example of this is the type of category that I want you to work in? This is kind of what's selling now. Create me something on your own.
Right, exactly. I would simply just give them the link of what is selling, and I'd say, you know, be creative. Do not copy this person, but come up with something completely different, but in the same niche, right?
One item or 100 items?
Well, I'd start with one.
Okay.
Because I didn't know if they were going to be good or if they were going to use different, you know, aspects of the design that I couldn't use. So I'd give them a test.
Mm-hmm.
And if they came back and it was good, then I would use that. And then I'd give them another test of, you know, 5 designs. And then I would just keep scaling it out.
And you were paying them by design? Is that the way you negotiated the deal with them?
Correct. I mean, I still do that today.
Okay.
Well, the reason I did that is I realized, so I was pricing my shirts really low when I started because I wanted to do as much volume as possible.
Mm-hmm. Scale.
Right. Well, the thing is with Merch by Amazon, unlike FBA, we have no contact with the customers that buy from us. So we can't ask for reviews and we can't do any of that stuff. So I realized that if I wanted to get any reviews, I needed to sell a lot of shirts. And the way I did that is I lowered my price when everyone else was pricing at $20. I was pricing at $15. So I did a lot more volume. But at $15, I realized that, you know, at that point I got paid a little over $4. So if I outsourced my design for $4, every single shirt I would sell would put me in profit. I really wouldn't lose anything.
So let me make sure I understand this. So the reviews are, I imagine, related to their algorithm, and that would be likely. So if you and I are both selling Frisbee golf shirts, let's assume our keywords identical, everything else being all equal, and yet you have a history of selling good quality shirts and people are pleased with everything you've done, and I have no history, in theory, you probably would rank higher than I would, correct?
Right, and I've seen this over and over again. It's unlike FBA where you need, you know, hundreds of reviews. If you get a single 5-star review on your shirt, you're going to keep you're going to sell that shirt continuously into the future. Like, it's not going to die. It's always going to pretty much rank near the top.
No,
just
kidding.
One review.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, that's cool. That's cool to know. All right, so you were going for reviews. You weren't naturally going for profits because at 15 you're making $2 or $3. So you saw, hey, if I can get the momentum, the accelerator going, right, in the long, you know, here we go back to, you invested all that time up front against your friend's wishes and advice and whatever. Come on, put your head down, push the shopping carts, let's go play video games. But you did because you saw the long game. You saw it as a long game. And long game, I guess, in this world is relative, right? It's 2 to 3 years. But, I mean, I get it.
Right. Well, and I mean, back then, see, the pricing changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if I priced at $14.99, I was making about a little over $4 back then.
Right.
So, you know, if I bought a design from a designer for $4 and I sold one, my thinking was any design I buy, I will get one sale eventually, right? Because nice. Amazon has so much traffic. I'll sell that shirt eventually, and I make, you know, 20, 28 cents, something like that. So I realized that I can just scale this up as quickly as possible. because it's a zero-sum game, so I would just throw up everything I could based on the research I was doing.
And when you were hiring this person, did you send it to five people? Did you try to hire five people and say, here's the test, here's the Frisbee golf shirt, make me creative thing, five different people, or did you just go person by person?
I went person by person at first. Yeah. But I mean, once I found that, you know, that single guy who actually listened, who was on time and at $4 a design. So I hired him out of the Philippines. And I get a lot of people getting angry at me, like, why are you ripping off designers for $4 a design? I'm like, this guy is super happy getting $4 a design. I pay him very well compared to, you know, what he could be making at a job in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
But anyway, yeah, so I started scaling this up as quickly as possible, but I was still doing these affiliate websites, okay? So that was taking up a good chunk of time. But then for literally 4 to 6 hours a day, I'm just sitting there typing things into Amazon because I didn't know what was selling and what wasn't. And since my goal was to have, you know, a high sell-through rate of the items on my merch account, I had to do all this research. So that was taking up way too much of my time. And at that point, I realized that there had to be
a better way to
scale it up. So that's kind of how we started thinking about creating Merch Informer.
Okay, so when we get to that place, this was all you by yourself up until this moment, other than using some outside help to design. You didn't have a partner. You didn't have anybody else in the business with you, right? Because the business didn't exist. But you saw a pain point again.
Right. Well, I mean, I kind of had a business partner for the WordPress stuff we were selling, right? He was the one who sent me that article. But at this time, yeah, just the Merch by Amazon thing, we were both doing it, so we were bouncing ideas off of each other, but it was basically just me and the account.
Was he better at one side of it than you?
I wouldn't say better at one side of Merch by Amazon, but what he did have access to, since he's in Bulgaria, is local people willing to do designs for programmers, designers. I mean, he hired designers for way cheaper than I ever could.
And so he
had the resources available to him locally. Okay.
And how did you meet him? Just through your tech world of way back?
Yeah, way back on some forum. I actually don't even remember.
Have you ever met him face to face?
Nope, never.
That's fine.
I've only ever heard his voice a few times on the phone. That's about it.
That's crazy, dude. That's funny, crazy.
That's one of my favorite aspects of the internet business, is because you just meet people from everywhere, all over the world.
Love it. All right, so I'm going to complain about how long I made this story and I drug it out. But you know what? You drop tips all along. I mean, again, I see a pattern. You put the time in, learn it, learn what you don't want to do, outsource that, find out where your pain points are, and then solve the pain points by creating something. So merch research, talk to me about what it is. What was it going to do, and what does it do?
So back up real quick. Merchresearch.com is Chris Green's tool that would basically open up all of the Merch by Amazon links in a new tab. So before, when we created Merch Informer, essentially what I wanted to do was, my entire strategy was looking at, you know, the BSR mm-hmm. for specific keywords. And then here's the thing with Amazon, right? So let's just say I typed in dog shirt, and each page has, you know, so many results. So I'd open up page after page after page of results, because there might be something on the fourth page that is actually selling better than a product on the first page, simply because the one on the fourth page is optimized for a different keyword. Okay. So I would open up hundreds of tabs. This took me so much time. I would open up all of these tabs and look at the BSR and then throw them in a spreadsheet. And then I would go back, you know, 3-4 days later, and I would open up all those same items again and look at the BSR, because I wanted to make sure that the BSR stayed consistent. Because I wanted to go for designs that were going to sell every single week or every single day. That's kind of my goal. And what I often saw was that something would get a bunch of sales quickly, and then it would just drop off. It wouldn't sell for a month or two, right? And the BSR would just slowly go down.
Is that because it was a trend topic, you know, whatever, they saw a TV show last night and it said, you know, whatever the stupid phrase was, it got put out there, everybody took advantage of it, and then the news cycle changed to a new key phrase?
It could be trending, or it could just be that, you know, one person saw this specific dog shirt and thought it was cute, so they bought five of them, and no one else thinks it's a good shirt, so no one purchased it after.
Is the ranking system similar? It's a velocity issue? Is that what it is? And if so, which I think it is there a number, you know, it would top 1%, top 5%?
I think it's velocity, but I mean, I don't really know. Essentially, all I would look for, all I know is that, you know, 100,000 BSR in the novelty clothing is equivalent to around one sale a day.
Okay.
So that's kind of my target. For each shirt, I would like it to sell once a day, but ultimately I would like it to sell at least once a month. That's okay. Kind of my goal.
And what's once a month's BSR rating?
Once a month,
100,000 times 30, I mean, is it, you know, a million?
It's over a million.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm looking, when I'm doing my research, I'm usually looking in 100,000 to 300,000, which is one shirt a day to a few a week. But I'm just saying, I would like that shirt, even if I don't get, or if I don't enter the correct keywords when I'm putting up my design, I'd like it to at least sell once a month.
And that's really the art, right? I mean, like you say, you're putting in dog shirt, but really it's dog face shirt turns out to be the real, right, master keyword, right?
Right, and that
knowing that's hard.
On the fourth page.
Right, that's hard.
It is, and I wanted to be able to see right away in one screen what the BSR was for a specific keyword ranked in order of BSR, so I could actually look at the bullet points and say, okay, let me analyze these bullet points and see why this one is selling better than, you know, one further down the list.
Okay, so you say, I need this. You get it created by your partner, or did you create it?
My partner helped me create it, essentially. So okay. I kind of had the master idea, and then he found the programmers, and we kind of just, you know, worked together in order to create, which was a very simplistic version at the time of Merchantformer.
And so when I sign up for your service, and we'll talk about your service. So you've got, we'll just buzz down on the pricing just to get it right. So if I bill monthly, just to make it worse, you have a $20 a month feature, and it's full featured. So what does that mean? Full featured product tracking, product keyword tracking, trademark tracking, quick setup, 24 customer service. Tell me what that is.
Okay, so essentially everything is going to be full featured. The higher tiers are just going to include more keyword tracking, so tracking positions on Amazon for keywords, as well as tracking trademarks. So when you first get started, you know, you start at the 10 tier, you can only upload 10 designs.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, as you get tiered up and you get, you know, 4,000 spots or 8,000 spots, and you start filling those up, what I like to do, which we didn't really talk about, is I need to keep track of the trademarks, right?
Okay, so you were tracking the BSR before. You would run a spreadsheet, you know, create a spreadsheet, have it, then several days later, do the same thing by hand, keying all, right, or downloading, whatever it is, and put that same thing in. And then you saw a pattern, and then you're like, okay, that's a positive pattern, buy, or, you know, go in there. Oh, no, that was a one-time event, don't do. So that was product tracking, but trademark tracking is different. Is it because people are adding trademarks and you need to know it? Because if you have Frisbee Golf and now it becomes trademark, is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. That's a problem I had. So I'd put up a shirt and it would sell great for, you know, 8 months. But then 8 months down the line, someone ends up trademarking that specific phrase that I put on that shirt. And even though that I was first to market, Amazon really doesn't discriminate. If someone complains, they're going to take my shirt down.
No kidding.
So I wanted to know, when I have so many shirts up, if a specific phrase became trademarked, I wanted to be able to take action before that became an actual issue for my account.
Well, legally, you know, you have, because you were up before then, you could defend it. However, you're saying that they just don't even care. If it says it's trademark, boom, anything related to it, take it down. They're not going to go back and police it, which I, you know, it'd be unmanageable with the millions of shirts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So you said, hey, we got to find a way to make sure that if I put up dog shirt, you have that in because that's the category you're in.
Right. So at first it was just the BSR. So we built that into Merch Informer. That was basically all Merch Informer was. And then we had this other pain point, which was, you know, the tracking the trademarks. So we fixed that issue and we put that into Merch Informer so we could track that. And it's basically all the modules that we have was something that we ran into that we realized that we could actually speed up the process.
And or these were problems that you ran into. And so, yeah, like you said, if you're having that trouble, and I think that's a great lesson. If you're having that trouble, you're experiencing these pain points, others are too. And if you can help solve those problems, they're willing to pay you for that service.
Right.
So you then expand it. I mean, and I'm looking at your biggest plan, which is the Pro plan, up to 8,000 trademark tracking. I mean, this is a huge database, is it not?
It is. Essentially, so I don't know if you're familiar, but the USPTO website, so the government website, mm-hmm. has all the trademarks in it. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the electronic search, you can search, trademark by trademark. And that's what I usually do when I first put up a shirt. But then I will take that phrase, since I don't want to go through and check 8,000 shirts a day, if that's how many you have uploaded, and just put it into Merch Informer and it will track it for you.
Nice. And so therefore, if somebody does come along and creates one, all of a sudden, you get notified. Is that what happens on my dashboard or something like that?
Exactly. Yep. It'll say that it's no longer safe to use. And then basically you can take that and go, okay, maybe I should look into this a little more. You'll see, you can go check and see who trademarked it and then remove that shirt from your account before Amazon actually puts a strike on your account.
Okay. So in essence, if somebody is looking to get into this business, what's your recommendation? Because, I mean, you know, you're going to sell your service, right? I mean, I understand that you sell a service. Is your recommendation signing up for all these services, or are we back to the real Neil Lassen, which is learn it, master it, figure it out, then outsource it? And be honest.
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I would not recommend outsourcing right away. The two main things I would recommend is, one, figuring out what sells. So you can either do that with Merch Informer with the 3-day trial, or you can do that manually. But the number one important thing is figuring out where people are spending their money. Because mm-hmm. if you put up 100 shirts in a niche that no one's ever bought in before, you know, good luck. You're probably going to be one of those people who are frustrated because no one's buying your stuff.
Right.
So figure out what's selling. And then personally, I'm not a designer, but I think you should prove the concept to yourself first. So, you know, learn how to use one of the simple tools out there, Photoshop. I mean, GIMP is free, but no one really likes to use GIMP because it's kind of complicated.
Right.
But, you know, even MS Paint, I mean, you can literally create a design in anything and learn the process of putting it up and looking what else is selling so that you can keyword specifically, you know, your bullet points, because that's probably the most important part.
Now, you know, Merch by Amazon is new. In the market, you list 12 other print-on-demand sites. And I don't even know if there are more than that, right? But that makes 13, right? You list 12 plus Merch makes 13. How big of the market share does Merch have of those 13 right now? Any guess?
I don't know off the top of my head. I just know that it's giant.
Okay.
I mean, I don't dabble that much in the other PODs, but the people that do, that I talk to, all the other PODs combined, it's about 10% of what Merch by Amazon brings in.
Okay. Because it's like, hey, should I, you know, I'm on Merch, should I be on all these other sites? If there's automated software, sure. But is it worth the effort when really you could just do better? If 90% of the market is Merch, you know, quite frankly, I guess once you run out of time and you've done everything you could possibly do, maybe it makes sense for these others. But boy, if you could really master that, if you put in that time to master that, that sounds like it's the opportunity, period.
Yeah, I think you should spend your time that's going to give you the highest ROI. And right now, I think that's definitely Merch.
What else do you see in the future? I mean, I'm going to have links to all this stuff. His pricing is, if you pay it annually, it's $17 a month, basic, a little bit less than that, $50 a month for the Pro. So $600 a year right now. And let's get this perspective. It's $600 a year. I think you have on your note less than 2 shirts a day, right? And so if somebody has 500 shirts up, if they can't sell 200 shirts, they got a problem. Fair?
Definitely, I would definitely agree with that.
Okay, yes. And so that's $600 a year. So don't think it's this giant cost. $600.
It's about two shirts a month. It's not even a day. Okay. Because
two shirts a month.
Exactly.
Okay. So perspective, right? It's $600 a year. So you're not charging for a lot for the service, and you're going to help me. I mean, I think the trademark thing is very valuable, because that's one thing I would worry about, putting all that effort and energy, and then all of a sudden, boom, somebody knocks you off the block. And it sounds like it happens all the time.
It does. And it's definitely an issue. But at the same time, you have to think that this is very early stage.
Right.
I mean, it's less than 2 years old. And it's Amazon, so there's definitely going to be improvements. There has been improvements since, you know, everyone first started, so everything's continuously changing.
Right, yeah, they build it, and then they figure it out later, right? They get the market out there.
Yeah, that's Amazon.
Yeah, classic. And you know what? Let's see, their stock is a little high. I think it's working for them, so I can't argue with the results. Okay, so what do you see in the future? Where are you adding... in your wheelhouse? You're not just sitting here saying, okay, software's done, everything's great, world is good. I have to believe you're investing into the future, and you don't have to give away your secret sauce, but what are you working on, or what are you seeing is coming?
Well, first, there are definitely going to be a lot of other print-on-demand products, and there are what's called brand partners with Merch by Amazon. So if you go on Merch and you're looking around, you'll see that Marvel is now a brand partner.
Ooh.
So if you look at some of these big brand partners, they often have other items for sale other than t-shirts. So one of the main ones to look at is Musical.ly.
Mm.
So they have, you know, cell phone cases and other things online. So that's kind of where you can look if you want to see what the future of Merch by Amazon is.
So you don't have the ability to sell it today, but it's coming.
Correct. And no one knows when, but if you look at the job boards, you know, Indeed.com, you can find the job descriptions for Amazon trying to hire, you know, developers from Merch by Amazon, and they all mention a lot of different products.
That's a pro tip right there, because, you know, earlier I asked you if you have the ability to see into the future, you know, how do you know or whatever. You just described one way, right? Common sense. Now that you say it, it's like, duh.
Yep.
You can see the future because they're high. I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. All right. Sorry. Now I feel stupid even asking the question because it's like, duh.
Well, that totally skipped my mind too, is that they're hiring a lot of people. I mean, the team for Merch by Amazon used to be fairly small, and they used to respond to emails super quickly. But I mean, that was back when no one knew what the service was. So it's growing fairly fast. But other than that, I'm just trying to get my designs that I already have on as many different products as possible. So currently, Merch by Amazon, only two products. But what I like to tell people who are not accepted yet or just looking to get some designs that they have on other products is that Shopify actually just integrated with Amazon.
Right.
So what that means is that you can take the designs you have and put them on other products and connect it with Shopify, because there's other print-on-demand services that will connect with Shopify.
So I can get coffee mugs by using my design that happens to be on Amazon, have it blow out, connect to Shopify, put it on a coffee mug that goes through a third-party site that will print and deliver, and I'll use a stupid one, VistaPrint or somebody like that, where they would print and ship it to you.
Exactly. So, I mean, you need a Seller Central account for that. So the startup costs are about $50 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get your designs, if you connect everything up properly, you can get them on shower curtains, coffee mugs, you know, phone cases, pretty much anything you can think of. The only downside to that is that you will not have Prime shipping. But from what I found, it still works pretty great, because you can repurpose your designs on a ton of other different products that are not available to you through Merch.
Right. It's a very smart move, especially if you connect with the right one. You know, think about the Eclipse people who all made their money on Merch shirts. If you don't know it, all the people making money on Merch shirts are Eclipse people, right? Right now, that's the hot, hot thing, or at least it was.
Well, hey, real quick there. Yeah. I saw a screenshot of someone who is, you know, selling one of the top Eclipse shirts, and they did $23,000 the last week.
In 1 week.
And
so imagine putting that on other products, you know, at that same period of time, because, you know, you want to be the person at the Eclipse party with the Eclipse hat, with the Eclipse jacket, with the Eclipse, you know what I mean? You don't want to just have a shirt. You want to have, you want to be decked. And exactly. So the opportunity, I think it's smart. Now, you know, the thing we didn't get to, because I'm going to run out of time. I don't want to make this too long because, again, if somebody is interested in this business, they need to be, because this is the start. This is the tuition for what's coming, where people can kind of order. I mean, we all know that eventually you're going to see something on TV, you push a button somehow, and it clicks through and it gets ordered, right? We all know that that's coming. This is how you get there. This is how you learn. This is the place to do it, and you can make money. I don't want to lose this, though. You were able to sell, you and your team were able to sell one of your merch account businesses for a serious amount of money, because you created an asset that had value, that had an inventory, right? I guess you sold your inventory, which is the designs, the intellectual property. Correct. That intangible asset, right? Those accountants of us, was an asset that was valuable enough to sell. And you sold it for well above mid five figures. I don't want to miss that. And I'm going to have his link in there. So if you have more questions about that, actually, they have a blog out on their website. Okay. So I do got to finish it up. You have a trial basis. What is it again? 3 days?
Yeah, it's 3 days, completely free to try out. If you hate it, just cancel it.
Okay.
But if you like it, stick with us, because we have some other, you know, some other modules that we are working on releasing.
Okay. So I'm going to let you give me one more, and I'll have links to all this stuff on my website. Give me one more thing that you think people who are on the fence about getting started with merch, what should they consider moving forward? I mean, I guess, you know what I'm saying is, I don't know why somebody wouldn't. A, they're not creative. B, they don't have the time. C, they you know, they're overwhelmed with what they have. Should they consider this business? And if so, how? Maybe that's a better way to say it.
I think everyone should consider this business. You don't need to drop everything you're doing and just do merch by Amazon. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the perfect complement to pretty much anything you're doing. If you love FBA, you can still do FBA and do merch. I mean, my girlfriend she's in nursing school right now, and she's doing, you know, multiple thousands of dollars a month with merch on the side. You know, you have my sister, she's got 23 designs up and she makes $400 a month. You know, for most people, that's a car payment.
Right. And it's a lot easier. Let me say this, because this is going to be one of these stupid, obvious statements, too. It's a lot easier to teach somebody this than it is to teach them FBA.
By a long shot.
By you know, just learning to packaging for FBA is complicated enough, because there's, well, you do this normally, oh, unless it's this, and then you do this. Oh, wait, unless it's this, 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 and then you got to do this and twist. And, you know, and I'm not downplaying it. It is complicated. We take it for granted because we do it every day. It's no big deal. This is a lot easier to teach somebody if they're saying, hey, I want to be in the e-commerce world. I want to be, okay, this is an opportunity. Buy Chris's book, get started, blah, 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 right?
Well, especially if you're already into FBA, if you know how to make a good listing, then merch is going to be fairly easy for you. The only thing you're going to need to learn is either how to design or how to outsource your designs. Everything else is going to be very simple.
And there are account managers that will, just like, you know, I use Karen Locker for my FBA account manager. There are Amazon merch account managers. I use a merch account manager. I'm not going to mention her name, Ashley, but she handles it for me just because I, you know, time, and she's really good at it, and she's very very thoughtful and very conscientious, and that I pay for, right? That service I pay for. So those things can be outsourced too, because I just don't want to get into that detail. And quite frankly, she's much better at it than I am. So all that's cool. All right. So I'm going to put the link there, dude. I am blown away. I'm very excited, because I agree with you. You find a pain point, you solve it, people will pay you for that. I'm willing to pay for it. I can't wait to get my subscription started, which will start today, I assume. I'm very excited about it. So, man, best way if somebody wants to get in touch with you?
Probably the best way is through our help desk. So if you go to merchinformer.com, at the very top, you're going to see all the links. And it's going to be, click on support and just send us an email.
Okay. Okay, so there's 3 days free trial. I'm going to have a link here for you on the website. Man, I wish you nothing but success, Neil. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So I'll have links for his service, 3 free days, 3 for trial. It's a great service to sign up for. Try it. Don't use it. For $600 a year, that's the way you got to look at it. 2 shirts a month pays for the cost. That's the way I look at things, and I love his perspective. If he can get a designer and for the right price, just sell 1 shirt, and then the second shirt is almost all profit. Love it. I think that's a very, very smart business move. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.